We are working through the book of Revelation. Good for you. No S on the end. I even heard it up front here. We're kind of looking at each of these. I'm trying to give you a kind of an overview of the whole book so you can be able to understand each of those. And so kind of putting kind of the chapter summaries as to what it's all about. So chapter one was... Yeah, it's a picture of Jesus Christ. So we're trying to make sure that we're understanding. When I look at that, so if somebody says, do you understand that whole book of Revelation? And you say, well, yeah, here's what it's about. And so you can have an overview picture. Chapter 2 and 3 are... Yes. So as we look at that, there are letters to the churches. And so they're a bigger understanding of that as John is looking across the sea and he is seeing those seven different churches that are there. So then chapter 4 and 5 is a look into heaven. So we've kind of come from an earth perspective that we've been looking at, and now we have a look into heaven from this point on. We're seeing a very different picture of what is taking place. Chapter 6 and 7, yeah, we're going to start the judgments that are going to be happening throughout that. And so we know that as we would look at that, there are actually three different sets. And so chapter 8 and through 10 is what? Yes, the judgments will continue. And so we're seeing those three judgments that are going to be happening. Chapter 11 through 13, three key figures. And who were those? The witnesses, the woman, and the beast. Yes. So we talked about those three and what they represent so we could be able to get a better picture in regard to that. And chapters 14 through 16, angels and the final set of judgments. Now, there are three sets of judgments that are talked about. There are some question as to whether they were all at the same time, concurrently happening, or whether they were three different sets that happened and continued to increase in severity. Certainly, we're going to hear about those. There are three that are talked about. This is the final set that is called bowls. The angels brought bowls and poured out judgment onto the earth. And so the first were the seven seals. They were opened and they were poured out on the earth. The second set of judgments was seven trumpets. Those judgments came out on the earth. We talked about those. And then today is those seven bowls. And so the scripture says, great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Just and true. Just and true. If there's anything that I want us to understand as we're looking at this, there are two different pictures that are going on all the way through. And I've tried to help you understand that as we're walking through. I hope that's coming through pretty clearly. One, there's a picture in heaven and there's a picture on earth. So there's really two different pictures that we're looking at as we're walking through this whole process of understanding Revelation. And it's very important that we understand just and true are the ways of God. God knows what he's doing. God is perfect in his ways. God is just in all that he does. He is 100% just, 100% loving. Now, our brains can't wrap around that. I've given you this illustration before, but I'll share it with you because it's the best way I can think about that. If we said to our child, if you put your hands on that stove, that hot stove, and burn yourself, I'm going to punish you. The child goes and puts their hands on the hot stove. They now burn themselves. You immediately sacrifice your justice for your love. And you hug them and hold them and comfort them. You're not going to punish them now. This punishment has been big enough. Because you sacrifice your justice for your love. God doesn't. Now, it's hard for us to fully comprehend that, but God will never sacrifice his justice for his love. He is 100% perfect in justice and love. if you can grasp that a little bit, when we say, just and true are your ways, King of the ages, it helps us to say, oh, okay, I don't think I quite get that. I don't think I'm capable of getting that. I can't imagine giving justice when my heart ached so badly. I just can't imagine that. But God is 100% perfect in all he does. He will not sacrifice those. That's why when we put this together, it's like, okay, part of it like makes sense in my mind. Part of it, like, I just can't even comprehend. So that's my prayer as we work through this, that we can at least grasp a little fuller understanding of who God is and how he works as well. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us today that we might hear your voice. In Christ's name, amen. Let's look at several of these things that are taking place. This is, if there's anything that I continue to reinforce, when we did the story and we walked all the way through the Bible, the thing that kept coming back to me was God's relentless pursuit of his people. He never gave up on us. He did whatever he could do to bring us to himself, and he continued to do that. That just struck me so strongly. If there's anything that's striking me very strongly as I'm going through Revelation as a whole book, it's that the Lamb is the center of everything. There's the redemption story is the message we hear over and over and over, which tells you of God's great love for us. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be because of his incredible love for us. There are 144,000 that are there with a mark of security, and they are a mark of God that is on them. It's a mark of loyalty, of protection, a mark of security. They are his. And so God says that he is protecting them. We see this message, this group of people that is singing a new song. Sometimes some of you, I'm sure, feel like, oh, we're singing another new song in church. Well, get ready for it because we're going to sing a new song in heaven. And that's just the way it is. Maybe we're giving you practice, right, Pastor Ryan? As we're working through and thinking about all of this, and we're thinking about the fact that when you get into heaven, you're going to sing a new song there. It's a great new song because it's a song of redemption. And it's a song that the angels can't sing, only us, we that are redeemed, will be able to sing that song. And so we know that that's the message that God has for us. We also know that this that are talking about this 144,000, they're pure and without blemish because they were purchased. And you see, that's what we are. That's who we are. We are going to be presented to him pure and without blemish. And you think, wow, look, we're so human, we fail so many times. We say, this time I'm going to do it, this time I'm going to be better, this time I'm not going to fail, this time I'm going to keep up with it, and what happens? We mess it up. But because of the blood of Jesus that purchased us, because of that, he's going to present us pure and without blemish. What an awesome gift that it is for us. Now, there are three angels that it talks about in these three chapters that we're dealing with today. And these three angels are talking. The first angel brings a message of salvation. And let me say that that's always the message that God is trying to bring to the hearts of his people and of the people of this world. God is constantly seeking to save that which is lost. Scripture tells us he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God is working in a journey trying to bring all of us into the kingdom. And so the first message that always is brought is a message of salvation, is God's work. Second message is a message of doom that is coming because there's going to be destruction that's coming. Boy, it doesn't take much to look at what's happening in the Middle East right now and think, wow, our situation is very, you know, tentative as we're looking at this and thinking, wow, what's going to happen? And I don't know if you're watching it, but if you watch any news at all, you're seeing constantly the conflict and turmoil that's going on in the Middle East. And then Russia's becoming greater in this whole picture, and we're trying to figure out what's going to happen here, and China's becoming a bigger picture. And realistically, as we would look through Revelation, we see all of those pieces are exactly part of the puzzle that could certainly fit together. And if that would be the time, then we would be all the more aware of his return. The third angel brings a message of judgment, which that's the part that we don't quite get and we don't quite understand, because any one of us looking at someone who was suffering or hurting, we would sacrifice mercy for justice. But God will not. God will not. His justice will continue to reign. And there, before all this, it says there will be a great harvest that will happen. As we look at this particular thing, it says several different kinds of harvests that are talked about. And realistically, the best that we can get and understand, there are several different occasions and times throughout the book of Revelation where we see that there is a rapture that takes place, where there's a harvest, and there are those who are brought up and taken up. And refers to this multiple times as we go. Some have even said there are seven different raptures that happen and kinds of harvests that will take place. But the scripture tells us, as we look, even now, you see the fields are white unto harvest. And so it's time for people to come to Christ. And there are certain places and times in our world right now that are so fertile, and people are coming to Christ in mass. That's why we should never stop praying for the Holy Spirit to continue to draw people to himself. We should never stop praying for those in our world that really need to hear that message of salvation. The judgments begin as we see this continues, and it says there are seven bowls, judgments. They are judgments of God's wrath. And so God's wrath is once again poured out on the earth as we would see this taking place. Now, the first angel poured out his judgment of ugly and painful sores on those with the mark of the beast. And we can be able to see, we're kind of seeing things that are taking place even today, like when we talk about the Ebola virus, and we're talking about how awful and painful this kind of virus is, and it's kind of a flesh-eating. It's ultimately, at the end of it, people, they bleed from their eyes. It's a really horrible, horrible disease. It's taken over 700 people killed in West Africa, right, as we're talking. And you saw that there were, if you've seen in the news recently, a doctor and a nurse who were working with Samaritan's Purse, and some of the work that's being done there, both contracted it, have been brought back to Atlanta and are trying to kind of rebuild them. There is no treatment. There is no treatment if the body is strong enough and can resist, but otherwise they haven't been able to treat it. And so there are certainly things that are like that that will also be happening during this time. And so we start to get a picture of what is taking place. The second plague is poured out in the earth, is blood in the sea, killing every living thing in the sea. And so it's like horrific beyond understanding as we try to see that. The third judgment is the angel poured out the judgment of blood on the rivers and springs of water. And so everything is happening. And kind of like as we saw with Moses in the plagues when he was with Egypt, very much the same kind of thing will be taking place and be happening, but widespread around the world, not just in an isolated area. The fourth angel poured out his judgment of a scorching sun with fire. And so we continue to see that intense heat that is poured out on the earth. And then the fifth angel poured out his judgment of darkness onto the earth. And so as we're looking, we see the scorching sun first and then this darkness. So these extreme weather conditions that are happening and are taking place. The sixth angel poured out his judgment of dried up Euphrates riverbed, preparing the way for battle. The riverbed of the Euphrates River dries up, but when we're looking at the Battle of Armageddon and all that's going to have to happen, they will march across that area. And so that is actually part of what is necessary for the final conclusive battle that will happen there. And then the seventh angel poured out his judgment with a voice declaring, "It is done." A great earthquake like never before destroys islands and mountains, and 100-pound hailstones hit the earth. You can't imagine living during this time. Can't imagine what people that are alive during this, what they would be experiencing. It's incredibly horrific. And so I look at this and I look at man's response. And when I think about this, it can't help but like grab hold of me. And I guess as I looked at this, I grieved as I was preparing the sermon this week. My heart just, it just was overwhelmed thinking about it, because look at what man's response. When the fourth angel poured out his judgment, they refused to repent. What happens? Here's what the scripture says. They were seared by the intense heat. They cursed God, who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify him. So their response is anger at God as a result. The second judgment, when it came, when the fifth angel poured out his judgment, they refused to repent once again. Here's what the scripture says. Men gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done. Once again, same response. Man is angry at the only one who could save him. And then third, we see when the seventh angel poured out his judgment, they cursed God. The scripture says, and they cursed God on account of the plague of hail, because the plague was so terrible. I couldn't help but think about, and I, as you know, each week as I'm trying to walk through this, I'm not trying to depress you and discourage you, and I'm certainly not trying to terrify you into salvation. I don't believe in that method. I'm not a fear-based kind of person who wants to make you fearful, because fear is an emotion. Emotions only hold as long as you have that thought hanging there. I really believe it's love that's going to draw you to the relationship with Christ. The scripture says, because of his kindness, they came to him. Because of his kindness. And you need to understand there's one who loves you so much that he wants to save you and wants to bring you into relationship with him. And so as I was thinking about all of this, and my heart was so grieved over the fact of so many people refusing to repent and cursing God even more so when all of this happens, I started to think, what does God want us to learn and get from all of this as well? And when trials come to your life, how do you respond? Because, like, you look at these people and they're angry and cursing God when things come. But how different are we in our own journey when trials come to our lives? Here's what I believe with all my heart. I believe how you handle the trials and the difficulties that come to your life reveal where you are in your spiritual journey. When I hear people who are going through a tough time and they're giving up on God, I think their roots must not have been very deep. Because if you can give up on God because things get tough, you must not have had very deep roots. When you can curse God and get angry at God because things didn't go the way that you wanted them to go, we're no different than these poor people in this book of Revelation and what they're experiencing. No, we need to be far deeper than that. And if there's anything I can encourage you to do, is to let your roots go down deep and handle the struggles and the pain of life with a deeper commitment and resolve to follow God than ever before. You see, trials come to our lives to make us strong. When you look at a tree and it's bending in the wind and it's going back and forth, it forces that tree roots to go down deeper and deeper and hold on stronger. If it didn't have the winds of adversity, it would easily be popped right out, and we would see that. The same thing for us. The winds of adversity that come to our lives are what helps us to have our roots go down deep. And rather than curse God because things didn't work out the way you wanted it to, or things aren't going like you think they should, or you didn't get healed, or you didn't get what someone else did and you're going through a trial, rather than get angry and curse God or whine and complain, you should be seeking God with a whole heart so your roots go down deeper than ever before. And that's what's going to hold you. Scripture says, so be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will come. They will come. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire. You say, God wants to test my faith. God already knows how you're going to turn out. God doesn't need any more information. He's already got that. But you don't know how deep you are. You don't know how deep your roots are. And so that's why it's important that you know I'm not as far up ahead as I thought I was. I don't know how many times you've had that happen, but I have. I have enough times in my life that I thought, wow, I didn't think I'd be hit so hard with this and be so discouraged by it. I guess I'm not as far as I thought I was. But I got to keep trusting him more and keep relying on him more, because it's being tested as fire test and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor of the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Amen. Trials come to all of us. All of us. Don't just say, oh my, you know, the enemy is really, and don't give the enemy more credit than he deserves. You know what? Like, I guess here's how I feel. If my washing machine breaks down, I'm not going to give the enemy credit for it. It was a poor washing machine. It just mechanically didn't last. And I'm not going to be able to say, oh boy, the enemy's really beating me up. I had my car break down and my washing machine. No. These are just life. They're just life. Well, I'm not going to give the enemy any more credit than he deserves. I think that's foolish. I'm just going to realize this is part of life. And when I do, I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm just going to realize I just need to go on, because trials will come to all of us. All of us. I don't care. And all of us have a burden that we're carrying. Different ways, different burdens. But we're all carrying something. There's nobody you can talk to that's not carrying something. No one. I don't care what it is. No one. Because they come to all of us. Dear friends, don't be surprised then at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. It's not strange. It's normal. We're all going to have trials. We're all going to have problems. We're all going to have struggles. It's what you do with them that's going to be important. And that's why trials are painful. So do I sign up for more of these? Absolutely not. Is there some kind of sign-up place where I'm going to go, would you like more trials so I'll be stronger spiritually? No, I'll take them just at the level that God's given them to me. I'm not signing up for anything extra. But I know they're going to come. I'm not going to be surprised, because they're going to come, and they're going to be painful. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. God's going to train me in this journey and in this process. Now, trials are temporary. Amen? Yeah, amen. You can kind of give a good one on that one. Yeah, I'm real happy that they're temporary. And even though they feel like they're a long time, they're temporary. They're temporary. Scripture says this, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. We're going to share in the eternal glory when you go through trials. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. So trials are temporary, and they're going to last in a temporary basis. But we're all going to experience them, those. Whatever the trial, it will be worth it. Would you repeat that one with me? Whatever the trial, it will be worth it. It is. I mean, that's important. Scripture says, for our present trials are small and won't last very long. They produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. They're small and won't last very long. You say, you don't know what I'm living through. No, I don't. But I know what God's word says. And it says they're small and they won't last very long. What are we comparing it to? When I say they're small, I'm comparing it to the glory that God has in store for us. When I say it won't last long, I'm compared to eternity that you'll be with Jesus, experience all of his glory. Yeah, that's what he says. And so when we go there, we'll think, what was I thinking? God's glory is so amazing. It is so incredible. Yeah, trials help us to become like Jesus. You see, it's a journey that I'm on. And all that time, God is reshaping me. He's helping me to be more like Jesus through all that I'm going through. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. And so your trials are helping you become more like Jesus. You're looking more like him all the time. Amen? Maybe you should tell the person next to you, you know what? You're looking more like Jesus all the time. Yeah. Because that's the way a healthy journey with Christ is supposed to look. More and more like Jesus. That's what's happening. So when I'm going through trials and difficult things, I'm looking more and more like Jesus because that's what he wants. Trials come and must be received with a heart that trusts God. Absolutely, absolutely. He says this in James, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing." God's on a journey. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm not close to perfect yet. You could ask my wife and you'd know, nope, you definitely not. Because trials continue to come to help me become more like Jesus. I'm on a journey. It's a good journey and it's working, but it's taken a while. Trials come for us to be a witness to our world. Do you know the people around you are watching? Do you know that they have trials too, whether they know Jesus or not? They have trials. And so they're looking at you and saying, how do you handle trials? When you get angry and depressed and curse God and whatever, they're going to go, well, what's the point? They don't handle it any better than I do. I guess, you know, there's nothing to this God thing. That's why we have to remember that we're a witness. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. You see, so I become a witness to the world around me. And they're saying, wow, that God does great things in their lives. Look how he sustains them. Look how he strengthens them. Look how he works in them so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. When it's all the more dark, when our world is all the greater opportunity for the light of Christ to shine through us. And so what do we see? Trials come, and our goal must be that we will let the light of Jesus shine. But he knows where I'm going, and when he tests me, I will come out as pure gold. Who could say that better than Job, right? Boy, went through some pretty incredible trials, but God brought him through in some pretty incredible ways. I want to have prayer with you in closing. I know that many of you are going through trials right now. Some of you through some pretty big ones. Some of you through just, it seems, everyday trials. Sometimes it just seems like everything's piling up, but you're facing some things that right now that you're just feeling like, wow, Lord, I thought this would go easier. I thought there would be more that would move better. I thought that this would be different, or it's just been hard to stay alone. But this morning you're saying, you know, God's been speaking to my heart. And I want to be victor in this. I want to come forth as gold. And I just want to surrender this to God. And I want to say, Lord, I'm letting go of this. I'm trusting you. Whatever I'm going through, whatever is happening in my life, I'm trusting you to be able to help me become more like Jesus as a result. Would you stand if that's the story that's in your heart right now? And you'd say, yep, I'm going through some things. Maybe they're big, maybe they're small, but I'm just going through some stuff. I'm trying to sort through, but I want to come forth as gold. And God's been speaking to my heart this morning as you've been talking, and I want to make sure that I'm doing what I need to be doing to let that happen. Amen. Praise God. Anyone else? God's been speaking to your heart about something that's going on, something that's happening, and it could be overwhelming, but you're choosing to say, no, I want God to be honored, and I want to be surrendered to him this morning. I want others to see Jesus in me, and I want to be a witness to my family Sometimes we complain so much that our family thinks there's nothing to our faith. Sometimes we're complaining in our world and we're saying, you know, I don't want to be that. I want to let the light of Christ shine through my life no matter what I'm facing, and I want to make sure others can see it. Praise God. Anyone else? Let me pray for you in closing. Father, you know, each one that's standing, we all go through trials. Some are going through them right now. Some are going to go through them in the days ahead. Some are just coming out. Some are in the midst of it. But Lord, whatever it is in our lives, we want to come forth as gold. We want the light of Christ to be seen in us. And so, Lord, I ask that you would take each one of these that are standing, and they've acknowledged this need before you and before us. And they said, I want to come forth as gold. I want the light of Christ to shine through my life. And so, Father, I ask that you would use them, work in them, help them with that resolve, that their roots would go down deep, they would be strong and mighty as your Spirit would work in them. Help them to be all that they would need to be, that the light of Christ would be seen in their families, in their workplace, in their world, in all that's happening. Father, we're just grateful for what you're doing. Let's all stand together. Father, some of us are in the midst of those things, and some of us don't know, but tomorrow we're going to be in them. Whatever it is, whether we're coming in the middle of it, or coming out, we know trials are the way that make us strong. Help us all to be more resolved than ever, not to be angry, not to curse God, not to turn on the one who can be a help to us, but to let our roots go down deeper than ever before, to be all that we can be for your sake. In Christ's name, amen. God bless.